7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 31 of Color of Magic. As usual, I am your host, Daquan Watson, and I have my buddy in tow, as usual, for 31 episodes, Brian Allen. How you doing, dude?
31, so like one more, we get ice cream flavor named after us, right? Isn't that how that works?
I think so. I'll have to call and see if we can get a sponsor for the next episode.
There you go. Ben and Jerry, hook us up.
They might. Ben and Jerry's. See, I didn't think about that. I was thinking about like Baskin Robbins, but you know, Ben and Jerry's would be legit.
Because do they still have Baskin Robbins? I hadn't seen one in a while. I guess they're still out there.
Yeah, they're out there. There's a few not far from me, actually. Okay. So, man, how's it been, you know, this last week? I know y'all started opening up in Texas, so how's it going on down there?
We're still doing okay. My wife actually went back to Louisiana to visit her mom, you know, because dad's in the hospital, so mom's not feeling great. And so, again, so far, everybody's still healthy. So
that's good to hear, man, because I know it's going to get a little scary for people for a couple of weeks till we see how this all works out.
Yeah.
For me, it's been kind of boring. I haven't had near as much excitement here. I've just been, you know, still hammering away at the YouTube stuff, doing
Twitch. It's like my notifications are blowing up. I mean, are you sleeping?
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know me, man. Like, if I have the opportunity, and especially right now while I have some downtime, I'm just doubling down on stuff. Like, make use of the time. Don't let it go to waste.
I get it, but I mean, like, you just like, did he drop, was it two or three videos yesterday? Like, okay. I know, you got to edit these things too. You got to play these games. I mean, it's.
Actually, okay. I'm going to tell you the secret. And this is for anybody who wants to produce content for like any type of recorded service like YouTube or whatever. Try to find as much as you can do in one time that overlaps, and then you can break it into chunks. So most recently, I did a series of videos that were three or four Mutate decks in a row, and then three or four Abzan decks, which I have another Abzan deck that'll go up tomorrow, actually when this goes live. And I was able to build all those decks fairly quickly, and then I just played through all the games in one giant recording. Then I edited each of them and broke them up in one sitting. And then I scheduled them for days out.
Okay. So
stuff you're seeing yesterday, today, tomorrow are things I did like 3 days ago. But I just did them in one chunk. And it's really, really good. Same way, like if you do any type of blogging or vlogging and you want to go out with the camera, like try to shoot multiple things in that location you're in that you can break up into more videos. So like if you're doing something publicly, say you're, I don't know, doing something downtown. Okay, cool. Can you get a shot talking about like traffic at a certain place? Or can you talk about like how, like right now, if you were doing things, let's talk about like maybe how the animals are reacting to nobody being down in Central Park where you're at or whatever. Yeah. And then go to another spot and be like, well, you know, these are just kind of like random shots of the streets when people aren't working during business hours or whatever. And you can make two or three short videos out of that. That's how you get ahead.
Secrets right here, folks.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. It's just the way to go. That's my little bit. I like to give back where I can. So yeah, let's talk about what we learned last week, Brian. What do you got for us?
Apparently, people are still buying timeshares. So many that there's, you know, shiesty lawyer commercials saying, hey, here's how you get out of your timeshare. I'm just flabbergasted this is still a thing.
Now, okay, I'm going to tell you, and I don't know if they still do this, because I haven't sat in one of these meetings in probably like 3 or 4 years. But for a long time, every time I went to Vegas, at 4 or 5 of the different resorts there, or, well, they call them resorts, but like casino hotel spots. Yeah. They would do these things a couple times a day, usually in the morning until just after lunchtime, where they take you to a timeshare presentation. And the trade-off was for the like hour and a half or whatever you gave them to listen to the presentation and have them make a sales pitch, they would give you a free show ticket to something at their resort and you'd get free breakfast or lunch. So at one point I seriously was like, oh, well snap. If I get up at like 8:30, I can go over to, like, say the Excalibur, hop on one of their little things. I go get a presentation. I get a free breakfast, and they'll give me a show so I can go watch, like, the jousting or whatever later that night.
Yeah. So, I mean, sweet. Last time we were in town, they still did that. But again, who's actually buying the timeshare? These are even the people in the casino dealing various games were less tricksy and shady than the timeshare people, I felt like.
Oh, yeah. The crazy thing is every one of those busloads has like 20, 30, 40 people on it going to those presentations.
Which every I guess time. If you pitch, you know, 300 or 400 people a day, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind it, though, because I knew the deal. And immediately when they set me down, I'd be like, honestly, dude, they just told me I was getting a free show ticket. So I just came along. But like, I really don't want a timeshare. And they were like, OK. And that was it. Like, they didn't even like just up front. You save them time. It was amazing. And it was great because I had so many friends ask me, like, how I got to see all these things. I was like, dude, I just gave up an hour every morning. It was awesome. It's the best trade, I promise. Giving away all kinds of secrets, though. So now you got a YouTube trick and you got a Vegas hack, I guess.
Getting it all, Hero Color Magic, folks.
So one of the things, this isn't so much what I learned as much as what I had confirmed, but the average person, and especially the fan, and for sure Magic players, don't really know what they want. I think they ask for one thing, not realizing it's not really what they want. It's kind of like we talked about before on the show, right? People want their card, like decks to be cheaper so I can build whatever I want. But then at the same time, they're like, but I want to be able to sell my stuff for a high value and be able to trade it for a high value. Like, you can't have both of those things, right? You one of these you want more than the other, and I bet I know which one it is. So, but yeah, you're seeing that a lot, like where everybody's saying, oh, I wish... Like right now, the issue was we went through a phase where people are like, oh, creatures are too good. We need creatures that aren't as strong. We need more spells to deal with the creatures. But then now you have people griping saying, well, now the fair creature decks aren't good enough. And there's all these like engine decks and combo decks. And it's like, they did what you wanted and now you're mad. There's no winning, man. There's no winning.
That's the way it works, especially on the internet.
But I will say, overall, I think standard, for the most part, is pretty fine. I don't really have any major issues with it. I think other formats still are struggling, have a lot of problems, but standard's okay.
And if you're going to have a format that's struggling, you want it to be the formats that are older and have, you know, a billion different cards in them.
Oh, yeah. People don't want to hear that, but it's totally true. I mean, I can tell you from being at Wizards and being one of the people that tracked those numbers for a while, like, the older formats get a lot less play. I mean, I can't give you exact numbers, obviously, but I can tell you it's, I mean, fractions of, like, standard play for sure. So let's get into some news, man. There was a few things that happened this past week. I know we mentioned it maybe back around episode 23-ish. Man, it's been a long time we've been doing this isolation thing. Yeah. But Wizards of the Coast had put out a post saying if they got an... Well, okay, let's recap the whole thing. At one point, Wizards of the Coast said, we're going to send a bunch of free mystery booster boxes to retailers to help them recoup some money during this tough time. And they were saying they were going to spend up to $5 million, basically, printing cards that they're just going to give away to all these stores, which was already like a huge favor to the stores, which is super awesome. Because those boxes are still really popular. I mean, people are paying $100, $160 in some cases to get those. Then they decided they were going to double down. And said, okay, if we can get enough stores, because we know everybody's not open and people are having issues, but if we can get enough stores to still promote the new sets, take pre-orders for stuff coming out, you know, the commander decks, whatever, over whatever that time frame was, if they could get, I think it was like 70%, you know, they were going to double that amount they were going to send to stores. And they announced last week that they hit that number. So they are going to send double the amount to stores. So stores will get whatever they were going to get, you know, 10 boxes, 20 boxes, whatever. And they will have those to be able to recoup some money as they get the doors back open in a lot of places. So that to me is very, very cool because they didn't have to do that. And that's a big chunk of change. I mean, when you're talking about a company saying they're going to be basically printing up to $10 million worth of cards that they will make no money on. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. So for people saying like, Wizards doesn't care, and Wizards is just trying to move everything digital and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is another thing that's in the opposite camp of, if that were the case, they would not just be giving money away right now. Especially when they're already making less money because of all this, right?
Like, precisely.
It doesn't make sense. Now, I do want to say, and this is just, this is more of a me talking, even more than the show talking. Don't be an ass to your local stores when you go to buy these mystery boosters or mystery booster boxes. Like, yes, they got them for free. But you know what? That doesn't mean they need to sell them to you for $50 a box. Like, they have not, they've been, some of these places are still paying rent, still trying to pay employees. They still have invoices for stuff they have to pay for product they ordered 30, 40, 60 days ago. Like, they still have bills that they've been having to cover.
I'll have them co-sign your don't be an ass statement.
There you go. Like, but don't go in there expecting like, oh, well, they got the boxes for free, so they're obviously going to sell it to me for $100. It's like, no, if the going rate's $120, $130, expect to pay that right now. Hell, if nothing else, you haven't been spending money with them for the last 2 months, so it shouldn't hurt you that much to take care of them one time. Because, and I was just having this conversation with my wife the other day, that if you are somebody who says, oh, well, I really want to support my local stores and blah, 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 but then you gripe because they're trying to get reasonable value on something, and then you go and spend like $60 buying a new video game, you're showing pictures of the new Jays you bought, you know, like, don't be saying you're worried about supporting the local store, because you're not. You might just be going there when they have the best price. You might be going there when they're running a cool event, but you're not the one helping them pay their bills on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's just facts. I know it sounds harsh, but it's true. And then the other thing I'll say is, because Wizards is printing so much and they're printing it at their cost and with no return on investment, and we still have it, because it's supposed to hit stores around July, I think is what they posted. And that'd be around the same time that Core Set 2021 is coming out. And then we'll still have other products toward the end of the year. I would assume, and I don't have anything to base this on, this is just logistics and logic, that this will probably be the last printing for the mystery boosters as well. I think there won't be any more after these shipments. Plus, to be fair, there's going to be a lot of it out in the world, or at least a fair amount, that there probably won't be as high of a demand after a while. So if you want some, this is probably going to be your last chance to get your hands on some, at least at their current reasonable price, because they're probably not going to be any lower than they are right now, because they're going to go away soon. So if you want some, try to hit up your stores around July, put in a pre-order for when they get their next wave. It's probably your best play right now.
Giving all the tips and the strategies right here, folks.
Hey, like, I got to use my knowledge for something. Then we had some other interesting news that Historic Anthologies 3 is going to be coming to Magic Arena. And for those of you who don't know, Anthologies is basically the way they're introducing older cards to Arena. So things that weren't necessarily in any of the 10 sets that are present on Arena currently, this is a way to make them available for Historic, which is their non-rotating format on Arena. Currently, we don't know what's going to be in it, so that's kind of fun and exciting. But they did say that they're going to do a short preview season that starts this Friday, because I think they said May 8th.
Okay.
And it's not a lot. I think they only posted like 8 different sources where the info is going to come out. So, and this usually isn't a complete set. A lot of times it's like 20 or 30 cards or something. So we'll find out sometime in the next week, you know, what's going to get added to Historic on Arena. And I guess it gives Wizards something else to talk about as a mini preview season, kind of while we're between things happening in different events right now.
Exactly. Anytime we get new toys to play with, it's exciting.
Oh, always, always. You know what that means? It means we have a guest.
All right.
And this time, you know, okay, so this is a fun community member that I want to introduce to everybody. I met this person for the first time last year, actually, during one of the Card Kingdom charity events, I believe. And I will tell you, this person's a lot of fun, great attitude, and has volunteered to be my emergency white pregnant wife if I get pulled over by the cops and need somebody to call.
Wow.
So just saying, like, this is good people. So I want to introduce to the show Tappy Toe Claws. How's it going?
Hi.
That is a true story. I'm not making that up.
Like, I remember that I said it. I didn't think that's where we were going to lead with, but I mean,
thank God you remembered, because it was going to get awkward otherwise.
No. I unfortunately, I remember a lot of the dumb, stupid stuff I say, and some of the like less dumb, but also unfortunately sometimes practical stuff that I say to people sometimes.
So I want to say, like, you are definitely big in the cosplay community. That's probably what a lot of people know you for. So why don't you tell us, like, how you got into magic and how that eventually, like, led to you getting into this whole cosplay aspect?
Sure. Well, I got into magic kind of at the same time that, like, I initially got into cosplay. And for some reason, it never occurred to me to, like, cross the streams. But I got into magic, like, very informally, you know, like, the full-on kitchen table format is cards I own. In high school, right around the time that, like, Lorwyn Block was first going on, which I really liked because my friends totally sold me on it, because, like, all the, like, cool merfolk were, like, kind of also evil, and all the fairies were, like, not cutesy fantasy fairies. They were, like, these weird insectoid things that would, like, visit you in your dreams and steal your brains, which I thought was, you know, cool, because it was 2008 and I was, like, probably, you know, 15 or 18 or whatever at the time. I don't know. I can't do math, and time is irrelevant right now.
At the age where everything goth is cool.
Yeah, I was just a little edgelord. So yeah, definitely. Definitely thought it was cool. And I mean, it was, to be fair. Like, I still really love all the art and stuff from Lorwyn. And then, like, I kind of fell out of it just because, like, I was going into college, and obviously, like, that's not really a time that you have, like, a lot of money and stuff. But I kind of played, you know, like, when people would, like, have decks, or when we would have, like, you know, when people would give away, like, the intro decks and stuff, we kind of played a little bit. And then I really got back into it when we went back to Innistrad, because I was super excited to hear about, like, the vampires and the werewolves, because I was, I guess, still kind of maybe a little bit of an edgelord. Maybe I still am, actually. Yeah, I kind of fell in there, and then, again, like, got really into it, but not nearly to the point that I am now. I really, really got into it around the time of, it was Vegas 2017, when some other Magic cosplayers I knew, Matt and Jin, who are the Jackal cosplay duo, they made the really big, like, a Johnny, like, fursuit costume. And they're also just fantastic, wonderful, wonderful people. And they kind of had met me at another event, and they kind of had referred me to Moxie MTG at the time, who was, like, putting together, like, the big cosplay group to, like, help promote the Magic art show at Vegas that year. And then I kind of, like, tripped and fell head first, and I found this, like, extremely fun group of people. At that point, like, really the only Magic cosplays I had was, I had at that point, even, it was two Jaces. Wow, even back then. God, I hate Jace, and I've made every single one of his outfits. I'm really selling you on the edgelord thing. Man, that, well, okay. Remember when I said I remember all the stupid stuff that I've said before? And then I had, like, Jace and Nahiri at that point. And yeah, I found this, like, this really great community, and I kind of rediscovered, like, exactly how much and, like, the reasons why I loved the game. And like, it just happened to kind of be the perfect storm, because then all of my local friends all got into it. I think part of it was, at that point, like, we all were kind of, like, settled, we had careers, we all had disposable income, so we were just like, this seems like a good thing to waste our money on. Let's trip and fall head first. And it's been a wild ride ever since, and it's been, for the most part, like, nothing but great. Got to meet, like, some really cool people, some people that I definitely, like, are like, extremely close friends. Like, if I got married tomorrow, people who would, like, be in my bridal party. Not that I would want to get married tomorrow or spend the money on having a huge bridal party, but you see my point.
I get you. You know, and one thing I will say, being on the outside of the cosplay community and, like, looking in, seeing the pictures get posted and seeing the gatherings at different events, or even, you know, when I've done game conventions over the years and seeing cosplayers in that realm, like, it seems like these big conventions or Grand Prix or those level of events are super key to that community. So, like, how are y'all all kind of getting along or dealing with things with, like, no events to go to for at least, well, hell, for the foreseeable future right now?
Yeah. I mean, part of me really hopes that, like, by the time, like, Vegas rolls around in, like, August or whatever, because Vegas is, like, one of the big fun events of the year for both the Magic community and kind of the cosplay community. Part of me was like, oh man, I'm gonna, like, really miss Vegas. And, like, as we get there and as we kind of, like, I don't know, adjust more to the situation and also realize, like, the gravity of, like, the situation that we are dealing with, in that, like, you know, this coronavirus situation really is, like, seriously impacting people's lives, but at the same time, like, social distancing is working and we're saving people with the things we're doing, that sometimes I'm like, maybe we could just push it out till the end of the year, and, like, it will be sad, but at the same time, like, might be the correct choice. And I'll be the last one to tell people that we should all get out and, you know, cram 7,000 people into a convention center if it's not safe to. But I mean, we've been keeping busy. Part of the problem is, like, obviously, like, materials are really hard to get a hold of right now, especially because, like, none of it's really, like, essential stuff, right? Like, foam and fabric. Oh, I hadn't even
thought about that.
Yeah, so, like, foam and fabric and paint and all that stuff, like, sure, you can go out and, like, go out and shop for it, but, like, do you really want to? And, like, I mean, I made a few masks out of, like, the scrap fabric that I had that was, like, you know, well-suited for that, and I gave a bunch away to my family and friends and people like that. Like, other than that, like, so it's kind of cool to, like, work on the projects that you have started, but also, like, you don't want to clog up, like, shipping lines with, like, wigs and paint and stuff. I'm also definitely the kind of person that if I don't have a deadline, I will not work on stuff. Like, I need to set a deadline, and I'm really bad about self-imposing them.
Well, see, that's one thing I do hear from all of my cosplay friends, no matter what genre that is they do. They can have, like, 5 months to get ready, and 60% of that work gets done in that last week.
Yep. I don't know about the last week, but, like, the last, like, for me, it's, like, I measure time in, like, weekends. So I need, like, I want at least, like, 3 or 4 open weekends, depending on how complicated the build is, to, like, know that, like, I don't have really anything else to do. Like, that's the majority of what I'm doing that weekend. And it's, like, that's my comfort zone. I can crunch it down to 2, but I don't like to. Especially considering, again, like, how complicated whatever I'm making is.
So how beneficial is social media during this time? Since you can't obviously go to events and keep contact with everybody else, like, what is the cosplay community doing to try to, like, stay in touch or even just share ideas right now?
Yeah, well, the nice thing is about the Magic community is because the cosplay portion of the community is so small, like, relative to, like, the larger Magic community as a whole. So, the cosplay community is relatively, like, if not super close-knit, which obviously, like, I mean, I know just about everybody in the Magic cosplay. Like, if you have a Twitter presence or have posted on Instagram, I probably at least have, like, seen your face. I'm like, oh yeah, you did this one costume. And then obviously, like, I kind of have, like, my core group of, like, 10 people who, like, are in the group chat when we're like, I need a wig! Who has this color? It's purple and it has to have curls! Who has one? You know? like, everyone has to kind of have that, like, clutch group of people, especially, like, obviously some of these costumes are so involved that, like, there's certain costumes that, like, I can't get on myself. So, like, when we go to events and stuff, these are the people who you room with, who you kind of walk around with, who you plan costumes with, those people. And I'm so grateful for all my friends. And I, like, they are seriously, like, close personal friends. So, like, in that way, like, social distancing has kind of, I won't say nice because it's obviously not ideal, but it's kind of been interesting because, like, I've been spending so much more time with people who normally are so far away from me. Just because, like, if I have to be on a video call with anyone, I might as well be on a video call with the people who, like, I really want to talk to, who happen to be in Switzerland and California and Nevada and wherever, you know? Like, if that's who I want to talk to, then I just can't, right? Like, the only thing that's keeping me from it is the fact that, you know, sometimes my European friends go to sleep at reasonable times, and then we have to, like, plan around that.
I know, right?
So, yeah, other than that, like, we've definitely been, like, you know, hanging out. We've been doing, like, massive Discord calls and playing, like, Jackbox games and stuff like that. And that was actually one of the things that we that we kind of all came to the conclusion of very quickly that, like, because we did the Jackbox games and we were like playing games and doing like, you know, streams all together and stuff. And I think we quickly realized that like what we really missed was like us time. And so like we pretty much quickly made a rule of like, why don't we just like make hangouts and like nobody gets to stream it. Like nobody streams it. Nobody talks about it. Like this is our time. Like we need offline time. And I've been having a lot of fun. Yeah. And I've been having a lot of fun with the streaming that I have been doing. But like that time has been so clutch. Like me with all my friends, like we're not on, you know, heavy air quotes there. In terms of we're not performing for anyone. Like, and let's say that. Yeah, and that's not saying that streaming isn't genuine, but like it is, you do really need that like recharge time with like all your people.
Yeah, that kind of leads to another question is, you know, how big is the cosplay community in other countries compared to the US?
As far as like Magic specifically?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, one of the biggest, like, people in Magic cosplay, when you talk about it, is Nissa cosplay, and she's in Europe. So, like, she's a, I look at everything she does, and I just, like, want to scream at her, because, like, I just want to scream her and shake her, because she's so incredibly talented. She's one of those people who's just, like, she's so beautiful, she's so talented, and then she has the audacity to just be, like, the nicest person. So like you're just like, well, okay, you're perfect, you're great, and luckily I get to call her my friend, which is, you know, amazing. So she's kind of one of the big ones. There's also a gal who goes by like Manju, and she is in Europe as well. She does a lot of work with Magali. She like helps out at her booth and stuff. I'm less familiar with. There's quite a bit of cosplay in like Mexico and South America too, which is always great. Which those ladies I'm really going to miss if Vegas doesn't happen, because we usually get to see them around Vegas. So that'll be too bad if we're going to miss like Jessica and Zopi and, oh, there's one girl. I feel so bad, but I always forget her name. She's got a fantastic Jessica costume, and I'm just bad with names. I just remember people as like who they cosplay. And then obviously there's some great cosplayers who are in Brazil. There is, she used to go by, Canal Año Sera, and I think now she's Gray and Cold on Twitter, but she's a fantastic, Brazilian cosplayer. And then, May is, also was in Brazil, and now I believe she's in Europe. And she does a lot of the same costumes that I do. She has Oko and she has Jace. So maybe there's just a thing where like, if you're Jace, you just have to progress further into like horribleness and just go full Oko at some point. I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe that's the natural progression. I don't know. But yeah, so like there are cosplayers all around the world, and I know there's definitely some in Japan. I'm just actually like, I am woefully like ignorant of any of their names or like their social media. But I know when some of the, like, I know Olivia's gone over to a few Japanese events, and so has my friend Audrey. And they've definitely interacted with some of the Japanese fans and the like Asian Pacific cosplayers and stuff, which is cool.
And then one of the other things I want to ask is, as you're known to a reasonable number of people for your costumes and your outfits, like, do you ever carry like a need to dress up or a need to perform? Well, like there's an expectation of it.
I think there definitely was way more of one, maybe if you would have asked me like a year and a half ago. I've been really, really lucky in that I've gotten a lot of opportunities through other community members who I know who are like always willing to like bring people up with them. Like Tulare Community College professor, like Brian, is so good at that. Like he's so good at like reaching out to other people and like working with them. And he also like makes sure that like you're paid for your time, and like if he's flying you anywhere, like he'll make sure to like compensate you for all of that, which is awesome. And then obviously like I was able to go to the pre-release for War of the Spark, which was awesome. And actually one of the best pieces of advice I got, because I was really freaking out when I was going to the PPR. I mean, I was freaking out mostly because I was really excited about it, but I was also really nervous because I didn't quite know what I should do. Like, should I bring a costume? Like what should I be doing exactly? And It was my friend Erin Campbell, who luckily like is extremely local and I get to hang out with her all the time. And she was actually the one who told me, she's like, you should go as just like just yourself. Like, don't wear anything. Like, let people kind of see like who you are without the wig, without all the makeup. And I'm like, well, Erin, I'm going to be on stream and video and a lot of Twitch people. I'm going to wear some makeup. She's like, okay, some makeup, like wear some eyeliner or whatever. But, like, you know, leave the wig at home, leave like the full face of makeup on. And I did. And I just kind of like really elbowed into the fact that I'm just like this total huge, like overly excitable dork who likes to talk about science and like food and Niv-Mizzet, I guess. And apparently it went over pretty well. So I guess it's really nice that I've been given the opportunity and I've kind of made like part of it is definitely like the privilege I've had of the opportunities I've been given for sure. And some of it is I've just kind of forcefully made a spot for myself as both like me as a person, like as kind of a community member outside of like the costumes and stuff. But like it did all start from the costume. So it is kind of weird. I was definitely in this kind of weird liminal space earlier where I was like, do people know me because I'm Joyra or do people know me because I'm Tappy Tokla? I was like, where are we at? And I think things are kind of shifting a little bit over towards like the Tappy Tokla side, especially since like I've had so much time on my hands with social distancing that I've actually been like doing regular like Twitch streams and stuff. And a lot of people are like, oh, wow, you're that cosplayer and you actually stream and like you just play Magic. I was like, yeah, I just do. I mean, I usually like play Magic is a stretch sometimes, but I try Magic usually. So
that's got to be a good feeling when somebody comes on. It's like, oh, wait, you're this other person.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's definitely been cool.
Well, awesome. Now that we got to know a little bit about you, if you're up for it, we have some more serious questions to ask you.
Sure, yeah, please. I mean, shoot, I'm here for it.
Our guests tend to be very sharp, but let's see how they respond when we put their feet to the fire in 5 fire questions. So the way this usually works is I'm going to ask you 3 more serious questions, and then Brian's going to come at you with some lighter questions to give some levity, I guess.
Sure.
So the first one I want to ask you is, it seems like you've done quite a few characters for Magic, but probably non-Magic as well.
Yes.
So of everything you've done, what would be your favorite costume and which would be the one you would never want to wear again?
Oh, yeah, I have a few good answers for those. I think for what my favorite costumes are, I think it's an honest tie if I can kind of weasel my way out of giving a definite answer. One of my favorite costumes that I've gotten to do for Magic was when I did the Elish Norn like ball gown kind of thing. Cause that was
beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. Cause that was a character that I had always wanted to do. Cause Elish Norn was like one of the first characters I saw that I'm just like, I need to be this thing. And like trying to figure out how to incorporate that costume into something that's wearable. Because like the first way that I was going to approach that costume was to just like go full ham on it. Go like try to be as professional as I can. Like in that case, it was probably going to come down to like, I was probably going to use Olivia as the model and I was going to make the costume and like airbrush the paint on her body. And like, she was going to wear it and get to walk around. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like I could do it. But like, I also kind of want to be Elish Norn. And then I kind of was like joking, like I threw out the idea of like, what if we just like showed up to the Vegas VIP party one year and just were like the Praetors, but like the Mean Girls high fashion version. And Olivia was like, I will make Shouldred right now. Do it. And we did. And it was incredibly fun. Again, it was another one of those things that it was made so much more fun because I had the whole group of people. Because Olivia did Shouldred, Nadine did Vorinclex, my friend David did Jyn Gitaxis, and then we didn't have Urabrass because he was a defector and not technically, like, he helped out the Murens and stuff. But then we had Jerry Thompson as Yawgmoth, which was, like, amazing. So, and then my favorite, like, non-magic costume, I think, right now is I made a Vera Red Mage from Final Fantasy Tactics.
Ooh.
Because that is one of my, like, favorite games ever. Like, every Final Fantasy Tactics game that's, like, ever come out, I've, like, just loved so much, and the Red Mage And the red mages are awesome because they're all like, they've got, you know, like red is a great color, obviously. And then they've got all this gold trim and like big feathers and they're just so obnoxious. And I got to make this like giant hat that is like just absolutely like comical, but then it like all kind of works in the costume and stuff. And I get to wear these like giant heels and I feel like I have like legs for days. And I feel like really like, I feel like really amazing in the costume. And like, it's pretty comfortable to wear. Considering like how much stuff is on it. And plus that was another one where I had wanted to make it for like something like 7 years or something. And then I finally just was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And plus I had a whole group with me of a bunch of other, Vera mages of like all the different classes and stuff. We actually had a friend of mine, her husband wanted to be in on it. He's like, can I be a boy bunny? And I'm like, heck yes, you can be whatever you want. Like, let's do it. And so he got to be like hot man bunny. And it was very silly.
Nice.
And then the one that I will never wear again that actually has since been thrown away is I made Jace Unraveler of Secrets, and I made it in like a month, and I refused to ask for help because I was super stubborn and like I was like determined to like do it entirely on my own, and my sewing machine like was falling apart, so it couldn't handle the fabric that I wanted to use to make it nice. Plus I was like so down to the wire that I couldn't get the good fabric that I wanted for like any reasonable amount of money. And I just like, I forced myself through it and I got like a few really good pictures of it. And mostly they're really good because it's like from like my collarbone up. So you just see like my makeup and my cool wig and like the suggestion of the costume. It has since been, yeah, like all but scrapped. I was not a fan. I don't really like the design all that much either. Plus, speaking of, my friends from Jacko Costuming, Matt and Jin made a way better version of it, and people should just have Matt be that Jace because he's better at it.
Okay. Now, it's funny you mentioned Jerry because that kind of leads into my next question. You know, he's one of the few, well, former MPL members that actually has dressed up and attended an event. So if you could, because I'm sure there's always ideas that you have rolling around in your head, if you could dress up any MPL member, any particular character, who would you want to dress up?
You know what? I think, so, I don't know if you guys have seen it. Have you seen my, like, I have, like, the Niv-Mizzet pajamas?
I have no.
Okay, well, I have, like, a big, giant, like, it's a full body, like, pajama, like, it's like footy pajamas, except they don't have feet on them, like, but it's like the full body pajama. It's got a hood and like big flappy arms and stuff. And it's Niv-Mizzet. So it's got like the cool purple wings and like the fun like head fins and stuff. But it's like nice. This very comical like giant fleece pajamas. I would love to be able to give Autumn Burchett a set of those, but it's the Terramander.
That would be very fitting.
Yeah. So that they can wear those and flap all over their foes.
I'm picturing it. This is great.
And then my last question I have for you is, what would you say to the listeners that is the hardest thing about cosplaying that they may not know?
You're gonna fail a lot, and it's very important that you fail faster. Like, it sucks, and it's gonna feel like you just want to give everything up, but like you have to try that really hard, complicated part of the costume that you want to make, and you might fail at it, but failing, and you're going to learn so much more from your failures than you're ever going to learn from your successes. And like being able to get back up and stay interested and stay motivated in like learning and getting better after you absolutely train wreck your first thing, like that is what's going to like make you so much better than just like kind of getting by. Like alternatively, like if you don't want to like go super ham and you want to make a simple costume just because like you want to wear like an easier version of it, that's also super fine. Like, it is totally okay to just do something that you are satisfied with. Like, unless you're competing in a costume contest or something like that, like, the only person who needs to be happy with your costume is you. And if you have made yourself happy and you like wearing it and you're having fun with your friends, then you have succeeded.
You know, that's a good piece of advice, because I think sometimes we forget that failure and experience are really the best ways to learn things.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, that applies to so many different fields, that failure is really the best teacher.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, so what are your two questions you got for?
All right, first one, which Planeswalker do you think would be the best cosplayer?
Which Planeswalker do you think would be the best cosplayer? I'm trying to think of, I mean, I guess Oko, because he's like a shapeshifter, right?
This is true.
He also, like, I also think...
bans him.
Well, I mean, he's also banned, so what else does he have to do, right? He's probably got the most time on his hands.
This is true.
I think also, like, I mean, Oko is also, I feel like, pretty willing to, like, be gender neutral and, like, be whatever, like, gender or non-gender he has to be to, like, become a character. So I think that probably, like, makes it easier for him, too. And again, like I said, he's got nothing better to do. Nothing but time.
There you
Style
go.
Some wigs, my dude.
That's right. And I'm gonna do a quantum leap. If you could go to any point in your own timeline, where would you go? Or technically, when would you go, I guess I should say.
Oh, well, okay. I'm gonna go back in time and tell my stupid face to just ask for help on that dumb Jace costume. Like, just like, get over yourself. Being stubborn has never won anyone anything. Like, ask for help. You're gonna hate it. Like, be better.
That is totally fair.
Cool. Well, with the five fire questions out of the way, we only have one last bit of business, and that's to set the table and talk about our topic of the day during the dinner table segment. So on Dinner Table Talk today, since we have Tappy here, I figured we would kind of talk about, just in general, get your perspective on how the cosplay community is viewed, or how cosplayers are viewed in comparison to the rest of the magic community. Because I don't have that perspective, you know, and obviously Brian doesn't either. So it'd be, because I don't know if you all catch any type of hate for things. Is there a lot of pressure to do certain things? Do people just make assumptions because of what you do? I have no idea.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything. And like, some of it, I think, comes from like a general point of ignorance, right? Like, a lot of people think that like cosplayers who show up to events are paid, like that every single one of us who, just because we're wearing a magic costume at a magic event, that like we're paid and we're sponsored and we like get special treatment. And that is like, nothing could be further from the truth. Like, honestly, like, again, I am incredibly lucky and I've worked pretty hard to like get myself to the point where like I can ask for like certain kinds of like, not really appearance fees, but like I get a little bit for like attending an event, because like I have a name and I have like, you know, people on Twitter who follow me or whatever. But the average cosplayer like is making a costume because they love the crap out of the character that they are portraying. And it's awesome that they're using that like love and like they want to express that way in a way that like is a media that can be consumed by other people. So like, I guess the first thing is basically just that, right? Like, the average cosplayer you see like is doing it purely because they, and that's, again, that's exactly how I started. Like, I, for some reason, saw Jace Bellerin and was like, I want to make that costume. Let's do it.
And you know, that's really unfortunate, because for those of you that know me, like, I've run a couple of smaller conventions. Granted, they were like 700-800 people. They weren't anything huge. But even for that, we had a couple of costume contests and I had area cosplayers come in. And at the very least, I spotted them meals and I gave them free booths at the convention. You know, gave them something so they can make some money other than just showing up and being an attraction for me.
Yeah. Well, and like, and it's definitely gotten better in that respect. In terms of like being able to kind of give, I mean, like, exposure in a good way that like, yes, we'll have like, you know, you can be posted and like, here's some like event entries and stuff to get in and things like that. Like, things like that have definitely gotten better. But originally, like, I think people just didn't quite know what to do with us, because we were just like people who were showing up in outfits, like, because we thought it would be fun. Because for a lot of conventions and stuff, unless you're like working for the event, like, you're just showing up there you're paying an entry fee, you're getting your badge, you're paying for like, you know, your own hotel and whatever travel and all your food and stuff. And like, that's just part of you getting to be there, is like, you get to be in costume and like do all this stuff. So things have definitely turned around a little bit. I think that's in part because like people like cosplayers like myself and like my, you know, my like best friend forever, like Olivia, is we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to be like, okay, so like we are cosplayers, but also like, this is all the other content that we produce and that we kind of have like expanded in that way. So like, that would be like my recommendation. Like if there are cosplayers who want to start getting like event invites, and if you want to start getting, you know, like any kind of sponsorships or anything like that, like you have to be also like, you have to be the cosplayer. I mean, again, this is kind of a double standard because like you are creating content, you're creating cool content that people like, but like you do kind of have to like make, you have to give people a reason to like want to see like you. Like they can't just be like, oh, it's Jace Bellerin, I want to get a picture. I'm okay, nobody responds to Jace like that. Like, oh, it's Nahiri, I want to see her and get a picture with her, oh my gosh. Like there needs to be that, but then there also needs to be like the, oh, I'm excited because like you're like Nessa, like Nessa Meow Meow, who is like a fantastic streamer. She's super, super good. You guys had her on, right? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Episode. She's super good. And I think she started out as like a judge and like somebody who like worked at LGSs and stuff. And then she's made a few costumes, all of which are amazing. Like I love her Sahili so much. But like, she's kind of first and foremost, like her own personality. And she just like occasionally dresses up as Sahili because like, I mean, why not? Like she looks beautiful. She absolutely nailed the costume. So does that, I'm sorry. I have a like high tendency to ramble.
Totally fine. I mean, because it's interesting you say that, because one of the things we've talked about on the show, you know, especially as I've started trying to grow like a YouTube channel and things like that, one of the biggest bits of information or tips I've had for people is that you kind of do have to make yourself accessible on multiple platforms, right? Yeah. Like people will come be interested in you because they found you as a cosplayer, but they're like, oh, like you know, she also streams. And it's like, okay, well, I can go watch her do this. And now they're more invested in you other than you just happen to portray their favorite character.
Yeah. And like, and cosplay is very hard just because like, because of the way that cosplay is and the fact that like, it is extremely expensive and like very skill intensive compared to not to belittle any kind of other content production, but I mean like some of the, just the base like cost of making a costume is usually like, when I tell somebody how much a costume costs, like I usually tell somebody it costs probably about $500 in materials. Like, and that doesn't include the fact that I have a sewing machine and a Dremel and like tools and stuff. And that's like an estimate. Sometimes it's way more, sometimes it's way less. But like, that's a lot of money, especially like the amount of time and stuff that goes into that. Like, it's very hard to like constantly churn out new costumes too. So like having to kind of like, you do, like, if you want to go, like, the full, like, I kind of want to double down, and this isn't to say that, like, you know, you should quit your day job or whatever, like, I was like, I have a day job that, like, I quite like, but, like, even if you want to be kind of, like, a bigger name in the community, you do kind of have to, like, branch out a little bit, because you have to pad out the cosplay that you're making with other forms of, like you said, being accessible, and, like, you have to give people a reason to be interested in you that isn't just, like, hey, I was Jace once.
Yeah, so I guess, is there any particular thing that just the non-cosplayers in the community could do to either bring more awareness to cosplayers or to, I guess, like, help elevate their status potentially?
Sure. Well, one of the best things you can do, and it's totally free, is, like, signal boost people. Like, if you love somebody's cosplay, like, retweet them on Twitter or, like, ask if you can. I mean, generally, cosplayers, when we have downtime, like, we love being on podcasts and stuff because a lot of times people don't get to hear from us. They just get to, like, see us because it's such generally a visual kind of medium. So, like, if you have a cosplayer that, like, you want to see on somebody's podcast or you want to see them on somebody's YouTube page, like, the next time that the professor asks, like, who he should collaborate with, and tell them, be like, you should put Nessa Meow Meow on your thing because her Sahili is awesome. Which, again, maybe a bad example because, like, she's a fantastic streamer who is, like, I think she just got Twitch partnered, which I'm stoked about. Good for her.
She did, like, yeah. 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like, nobody deserves it more than she does. So, like, that's obviously good. But, like, you know, bad example. But, like if you see, like, a cosplayer who's kind of, like, just starting out, like, also just generally encourage them, too. Like, if you like their costume, like, maybe instead of just, like, putting a like on their tweet, you say, like, wow, you, like, did such a good job on this part of your costume or whatever. Like, obviously, you don't have to be extremely knowledgeable about the way that they crafted something. You could just be like, wow, your Jace cape looks amazing, or something like that. The other thing, shifting to a little bit, like, less fun topic, but, like, one of the worst things you should do when you see somebody cosplay, especially someone new, is, like, don't compare cosplayers to each other. Like, unless it's, like, a competition that we are, like, entering, like, on purpose, like, with our consent that, like, we are entering to have our craftsmanship judged. Like, it takes so much effort to, like, make any kind of costume, especially if you're a newer person. Like, the average person who's entering cosplay is going to make a costume, and it might not look as nice and professional as mine, but I also have, like, a lot, like, years of experience, and also, like, probably more disposable income than this person has, who knows. Also, like, more, I have access to more people. Like, I can email Nissa Cosplay and be like, oh, you're so good, I don't know how to do this, how do I airbrush this? Whereas, like, they might not be able to do that. And, like, it doesn't make me feel good to be like, well, I like your Joyra, but, like, Tappy's is way better and she's the Joyra. Like, nothing makes me feel worse, actually. Like, all I want to do then, and I usually do, is, like, go to this person and be like, no, like, it's cool, like, I like my Joyra, I obviously liked my costume enough to make it. Like, why would I be mad that someone else likes Joyra, who is one of my favorite characters in the entirety of Magic? Like, why would I ever be mad that someone else liked this character enough that they put all that effort into, like, making her, right? So, like, unless a cosplayer specifically is asking for criticism, like, and again, they might be like, hey, I didn't quite make this piece of armor right, like, how do you think I could do that better? Unless they're asking for constructive criticism, then, like, if you don't think their costume is great or you think they could have done it better, then either, like, be quiet, get off the internet, log off, and make it better yourself. Like, go do it. I promise you it's not as easy as you think. Or, like, just be like, hey, this is an awesome attempt. Like, or not even, don't say it's an awesome attempt. That's not good. But just be like, hey, your Jace is cool. Or just hit the like button and don't say anything if you don't have anything nice to say. Or, you know what, like, then don't even like it. Like, just don't say anything. Like, the last thing that you want to do is to tell someone that they put all this effort and hard work in, and then, like, you're, like, Joe Schmo from, like, friggin' Twitter doesn't think it's as good as anybody else's. Like, get out of here. Like, that's, like, the absolute thing that I would be, like, I'll put on, my big girl pants. And, like, and honestly, if you do that, you probably will catch flack from a lot of us other cosplayers, because one of the nice things about having a big platform is I probably have more Twitter followers than, like, Joe Schmo person who wants to, like, poop on some new cosplayer, and I probably will get in their mentions and be like, I think you're great, don't listen to this guy, he's a douche, and then that's a great way for me to block you.
Well, and that leads me to two other quick things here. Is I've talked with some other people who have worked different types of conventions or put big events together, and there's been a little bit of debate on if something like more cosplay contests would be good or bad. Like, what's your perspective on that? Because if you already have people giving you a lot of critiques and whatnot, like, does this further that behavior that may not be what cosplayers actually want? But at the same time, it's also a way for them to potentially earn money.
So, yeah, like, I don't know. So that's a really good question, right? And I don't necessarily have a good answer to that. I think what's really important is, like, the clarity on what the contest, or, like, what the aim of the contest is. And so, like, last year at GP Seattle, Channel Fireball was going to host a cosplay contest, and they were going to have, like, a cash prize for, like, I think it was, like, first, second, and third or whatever. They were going to have a cash prize. And I was actually one of the people who talked to Channel Fireball, and I'm like, I don't think this is what you want to do, actually. Because, like, when I had talked to, and again, this is not obviously to disparage Channel Fireball, as you'll see for a great, I love the people who run the events there. They work really, really hard. But I told them, I was like, you want to do this as a way to, like, get more exposure to more cosplayers, right? And, you know, the guys who were running it were like, yeah, that's exactly what we want to do. So we're going to put you on a stage and, like, we're going to do a little, like, contest. And I was like, come on this journey with me. And it was me, and this isn't to say it was just me. It was, like, a whole bunch of the cosplayers were all like, I feel kind of bad about this. Because, like, if you want to have a contest, like, we all know that Nissa Cosplay is just going to win. Like, we all know that. Like, we all know that Nissa Cosplay is going to win, or probably, like, Matt and Jin with their giant Ajani costume. And they should. Like, they should. They are probably objectively, like, the most skilled at what they do. So, like, Channel Fireball actually came back with, like, a great idea of just doing a showcase. So instead of having it be a contest, they're like, hey, Tappy, will you be the MC, kind of the host? And will you just, like, people are going to come up on stage, you're going to introduce them, tell everybody what character their costume is of, and then they're just going to get to talk about their costume, whether they want to do, like, you know, whether they want to act like Nyssa on stage for, you know, 30 seconds or whatever, or they want to talk about how they made it, totally up to them, but the stage is theirs for like a minute. And then they come back down. We take a big picture of everybody afterwards. The audience has gotten to see everybody's costume. And then if they want to, like, you know, come up and ask for individual pictures afterwards, they definitely can. And then Channel Fireball gave everybody a goodie bag with like a bunch of Modern Horizons, like packs in it and stuff, which obviously isn't money, but it's not nothing. And everybody was happy to get it. And I think that was a great example of it.
That seems like a good solution there. That's a good middle ground.
Yeah, and again, like, kudos to the Channel Fireball guys, because they, like, listened to all of us going, like, I don't know if this is what you want to do! We all know Nadine's just gonna win! Like, and then they came up with this middle ground, which is good. And that's not to say that, again, contests are not bad, because, like, there is definitely some value in, like, having professional, like, highly qualified craftsmen, like, look at your work closely and judge it according to, like, other people who are also really proud of their work. But, like, some people just want to make a costume. Like, some people just want a costume so that it looks good from, like, you know, 6-ish feet away, and they get to feel like the character. Like, I've definitely done that myself. Like my Oko costume is not, like, I would not call that my best work. I made that thing in 2 weeks because I needed it. Like, my
but
crown
it gets
is
a lot of miles.
It has gotten a lot of miles. But, like, again, like, I didn't make the pants. Like, I made it because I already had the pants. The only thing I made was his, like, little, like, capelet thing. I already had the feathers from something else. I know for a fact, and actually it was funny because I asked Nyssa Cosplay, like, how I should make my crown. And she's like, this is how you should make it. This is definitely not how you should make it. And I was like, all right, I'm listening to what you're saying, but all I have is this material you just told me not to make it out of, so I'm gonna do that. And then it broke, and she had to tell me that she was right, which obviously she was. And again, like, so I don't really like the way that my crown looks personally. I think it's serviceable. It's fine. Like, no one's ever walked up to me and told me that my crown looks bad. Although I think somebody did say it looked like a pretzel once, which was kind of funny because we were at, like, a Bavarian beer house at the time. So, it was, like, it was kind of accurate anyway.
That might have been a beer-induced comment, though.
How inebriated were they?
Who knows? I'm not one to judge. I'm from Wisconsin, so, like, it's, you know. But, yeah, so, like, I think the idea that, like, it's a totally different mindset of, like, I want to make this costume and I want to do, like, the best craftsmanship I possibly can on it. Like, I want it to be amazing. Or, like, I need this done in 3 weeks because the con is then and I want to have a costume with my friends. And both of these two approaches are very different, and neither of them is better than the other one. They're just different ways to enjoy this hobby, right?
Yeah. And then the last thing I kind of want to ask is, when the non-cosplayers were kind of interacting with you when you put pictures up or talk about the process on a costume, how much does the public response matter to you? Like, if you post up a thing, say, with, like, your latest Oko outfit, and it gets, like, I don't know, 20 likes and 2 people post on it, like, is there a, like, negative feeling attached to it, or do you personally, like, judge the costume because it didn't generate enough reaction or response?
I mean, that's a really interesting question, because I feel like, obviously, like, I'm always happy when I post up, like, some dumb meme picture and it gets a lot of likes, right? Like, that is good. It feels good. Like, I will say, like, I definitely value, like people who are close to me, or even, like, the people on my Twitter feed that, like, I don't necessarily know, but, like, I see them kind of around, and, like, they're always there to, like my stuff and, like, say, like, hey, Tappy, your costume looks good today. Like, those people's comments mean a lot to me. Like, obviously, like, they follow me for a reason. They appreciate me. I appreciate that they appreciate me, and that's cool. And obviously, like, I'm not gonna say that, like, I don't want the social media hits. Like, obviously, it feels nice when you, like, pop Instagram up and you're like, wow, that dumb picture got 800 likes or whatever. So that's cool. I've definitely learned, though, that, like, so much of what gets a reaction on social media and what doesn't, so little of it has to do with the actual skill that went into the costume itself. Like, again, I admit it, I made my Oko costume in 2 weeks, and it's incredibly stupid. And then I put on my Jaya boots and, like, some booty shorts and took some dumb meme pictures, and it got hella traction. But that's because it was a dumb meme. and it was like capitalizing on every, you know, stupid like trend that was already on social media. And so like that's a little bit hard with cosplay, right? Is like the people who are honestly like the best craftsmen, who are like the best at making stuff and so talented, like aren't necessarily the best people at like selling themselves is a bad phrase, because some people aren't trying to like make it, they just want to like make cool stuff and wear it with their friends. But like the people who have like the most skill and who make like really amazing stuff honestly probably don't get nearly as much attention as they should, just because of like the way that social media algorithms work.
That's fair, man. You know, I feel like we've learned a lot on this episode.
No
about
joke.
Like getting to peek behind the curtain at like the life of the cosplayer. So
pay
to
no attention to the dinosaur behind the curtain.
It's like, yeah, a superhero. Exactly. I'm going to take my costume for this trip. I have to.
Cool. Well, let's wrap things up here. And why don't we go ahead and give Tappy a chance to tell everybody how they can find you on social media.
Cool. Yeah. Speaking of social media, you can find me on basically everything as Tappy Toe Claws, no spaces, all one, you know, Franken word. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and I stream not at all regularly because I'm horrible at keeping schedules on Twitch as Tappy Toe Claws as well. And that's basically where I am. That's basically me.
Cool. Brian, where can they find you?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. And our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And if you want to find me anywhere, it's Power Dragon, PowerDragn, just about everywhere. And I do stream on Twitch on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. And I'm doing a lot over on YouTube, so come over and support me over there. But yeah, I want to thank Tappy Toe Claws for coming on the show again. It was a fun conversation. We learned a lot. And hopefully everybody kind of understands a little bit more about not just cosplaying in general, but the things that cosplayers deal with.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for having me on. It was like super fun. So
awesome. Maybe we'll have you back sometime.
Yeah, anytime. Like, I also understand if you want to get people who are, you know, like actually like more qualified than I am, but it's super great. I love what you guys are doing, and I'm always happy to help you out, obviously, and have some fun.
Well, cool. That's going to do it for us this episode. So wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And take care of yourself as we're starting to open things back up, people. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.